Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of your quarantine hosts, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is every single week, Drea Kaufman.
Hi!
Hey, you know, people are going to listen to that in the future and be like, what the heck are they talking about?
I was just going to say, we often don't make references to things that date this, just because they're not always relevant in replay. So we might talk about a holiday, but we usually don't talk about like Christmas 2019 or anything like that. But right now is a fairly historic time for us. It's sort of unprecedented in the last 100 years. And we are self-quarantining by mandate quarantining. I don't know, Matt, are you under mandate or just self?
We are not allowed to where we are to have gatherings of 50 or more people in the state of Washington. So I guess that does not apply to Costco or, you know, the grocery store. Any other place, yeah, almost everything, you know, is pretty much kind of like shut down, movie theaters, you know, all that stuff. Only the essentials, and then, you know, to-go places for food and whatnot. So, yeah, it is an interesting time to be alive. So, thank goodness for some normalcy in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Arizona just closed all public schools this week, and we're supposed to not do gatherings of anything larger than, I think, 25 or 50 as well, but they haven't officially closed restaurants or anything like that. A lot of restaurants are choosing to are self-electing to close their dine-in option and just offering takeout. So I think that's really smart. But yeah, it's I saw a really great relevant Harry Potter quote about what's going on here, in that it was a mom who had kids who were at home for a while, and they decided to reread the Harry Potter series. And she said that one of her kids found a lot of comfort in the wisdom from Dumbledore about, you know, light can always be found in darkness if only one knows to turn on the light. And that really spoke to them because it felt very dark. And so it helped them see through some of that. So I know we're entering a very dark phase, or we're really living in this dark phase of this book that we're in. And I feel a little bit like that's paralleling in the real world now. But thankfully, we don't have a band of people going around killing everyone. It's just a disease. So, you know, not quite samesies, but was nice that, you know, Harry Potter could provide some insight and still provide comfort in this time. And I think that's mm-hmm. important. So,
well, and, you know, honestly, this is the perfect time for people to get back to some really essential things, you know, like family and friends and reading good books and all of these kind of things, you know. And in many ways, I feel like a lot of our distractions have been taken away from us, and so that we can focus on what's really important. So, you know, and I hope in many ways that, you know, this will end up being kind of a blessing in disguise for a lot of people in that way. So, and definitely being able to still podcast is excellent. So we'll still be bringing you Owl Post each and every week. And so we're excited to be diving into chapter 22 after the burial tonight. But before we do that, if you're listening to us, well, thank you for listening. I know a lot of people around the world going through the same things we are at this moment. Again, this won't matter in, you know, perpetuity, but hey, we can't ignore what's going on. So hit us up with a star rating review over there on Apple Podcasts, and we know you have more time these days. So do that. Help us out. Help other people find the show. Help other people spread the love of Harry Potter joy that can be found. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party, on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. So make sure you're liking us and following us there. You can find thenerdparty.com, where if maybe, you know, you've got more time and you've been thinking about some Harry Potter questions or something, you can send Dre and I an email over at thenerdparty.com/contact. And we'd love to talk to you in that way. So a great time to be able to catch up social media wise with us. And we would love it. It would definitely brighten our day to be able to do that. So, Drea, this chapter, we are kind of picking up after the last chapter, and the year is progressing for the students as they're kind of slowly slipping towards the summer. And normally, that would be something that Harry would be kind of looking forward to a little bit with no school. But he's not necessarily really looking forward to it. And part of that is because he has not been able to figure out a way into the Room of Acquirement to find out what Malfoy's up to. He has not been able to figure out this whole Slughorn thing. And, you know, it kind of leaves him annoyed and frustrated. And, well, you know, Ron is also dealing with, he still has not talked to Lavender, which I think is funny. And every time a girl like approaches, he jumps like 20 feet thinking it's Lavender. And then I just love that, like, either Hermione or Harry is like, it's not Lavender. It's fine.
I do love the difference in the significance of each of their concerns, right? Harry's worried about this memory that could potentially end this massive war and all these killings, which Hermione is none too quick to remind him of, that what he's doing is incredibly important, whereas Ron is worried about not wanting to break up with his girlfriend. So, yeah, that feels about right. I love how different those feelings are. And I love that Hermione's sort of getting tired of all of it. I can totally relate to that. But she's totally tired of Ron avoiding Lavender and just not doing anything about it. And she's getting sort of impatient with Harry not taking this seriously and being obsessed with Draco. Like, you can just tell that this year is, like, wearing on her. She's, like, perfected the, like, annoyed sigh in my mind. She's like, she's referenced as responding wearily several times and not with the same passion that she always comes to the table with. So I thought that was a really interesting little note here, is that we're kind of chipping away at Hermione's patience. But they get this note from Hagrid that Harry originally kind of freaks out thinking it's Dumbledore and that he's sort of on this clock about this memory from Slughorn. I love how she puts it in the book and that it is actually written out like a note, and you can see the teardrops on the note. We come to find out that Aragog has died.
Yeah, this is also really funny because, you know, Hagrid wants them to come down to the funeral for Aragog, which is against the rules because it's after dark. And so Hermione and Ron's reaction to this is honestly pretty hysterical. Ron calls Hagrid mental for him even thinking about this. He's like, that thing tried to eat us. And Hermione, of course, is only thinking about, well, like, he wants us to leave the castle. Like, they've increased security a million times tighter than it has been before. Does he really want us to get caught and everything? And, you know, Harry is you can tell in the way that she writes it, like, Harry's actually up for going, and they kind of talk him out of it because they don't want any of them to get into trouble. And Harry finally just relinquishes, like, okay, I guess, you know, he'll have to bury, you know, Aragog himself, but he's not necessarily happy about it. And I think part of that is obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about the fact that you have a very close relationship between Hagrid and Harry. You know, they have a pretty tight relationship, even more so, I think, than Ron and Hermione do with Hagrid. And there's a lot there between those two characters. So, you know, it kind of hurts and frustrates him to not be able to go. But Hermione tries to cheer him up a little bit by pointing out that, hey, you know, we all have our apparitions test. And that will give you plenty of time with Slughorn this afternoon because the class will be pretty much empty. So maybe you'll have an opportunity to be able to help him. And Harry's like, oh, so you think my 57th time is going to be lucky, do ya? And this is where Ron's like, oh, I've got a brilliant beyond brilliant plan.
I love that it's Ron's brilliant plan. I really
Me
do.
Too.
I had completely forgotten about that because I don't know in the movie who comes up with it. I don't think it's Ron because I was surprised. But I love because Ron doesn't get enough opportunities to sort of save the day, right? He's usually the one who is being saved or who's benefiting from the saving or something along those lines. But for him to come up with the brilliant idea that's going to save the day, I was over the moon because I love too that Harry, like, how do you put this? He had already gone there, but for purely selfish reasons, changed, decided not to use it. And I love the reasons why he decided not to use it because it cracked me up. It was totally what a teenager would do.
I mean, I love it. I love Harry's thought process there that he's like, he's waiting for the moment when Dean and Ginny have broken up so he can take it. And then, like, everything will be okay because, you know, he'll tell Ginny how he feels. She'll tell him how he, you know, she feels. Ron will be okay with her new boyfriend. Like, come on. Like, what's wrong? This is a foolproof plan
here.
I
know. It's so funny. It kills me every time. I want it to be real. And at the same time, you're like, man, you have the fate of your entire, world, country, environment, universe, whatever you want to call it, that you need to save. But better save that potion there for Ginny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, as they're talking about this and they make the decision, okay, if I can't, you know, get Slughorn basically in class, I will take it tonight at dinner and then I will, you know, we'll see what happens. And as they're talking about this, some of the a couple of sisters pass, they call them the Montgomery sisters. And of course, Ron jumps again thinking it's Lavender. It's not. But apparently their little brother had been attacked by a werewolf and died. And it was because the attack was so violent, and Hermione thinks that it was Fenrir Greyback that had attacked him. And so what I really love, too, is she's able to kind of use this as an opportunity to remind Harry exactly why he's doing this. And I think it's really smart. You know, Ron comes with this brilliant beyond brilliant plan, right? And then Hermione kind of, like, I think doubles down by to say, look, The reason you're doing this is because it's all about stopping Voldemort. All of these dreadful things are happening because of him, you know? And so I don't think that it's the fact necessarily that Harry hasn't been taking this seriously, because obviously he has been trying to talk to Slughorn, but you doing that by every means necessary, I think Harry resigns himself to the fact that, yes, if he cannot get Slughorn's attention basically in class and get him to tell him then that the only recourse at this point is the Felix Felicis.
Kind of going back to what we talked about at the beginning here, it feels a little bit like what some of us are experiencing from this whole self-isolation thing that we're in, right? And that we're having to give up a lot of the things that we want and we enjoy and mm-hmm. we want to go out and we want to see our friends and our family. But honestly, the best thing for us to do is to not do those things, right? And it's hard, but it's a decision you make to help everyone and not just yourself. And that's a really tough decision to make, especially for like a 16-year-old boy. So, you know, it's good for him. It's something we can all relate to. It feels very topical like right here and now in the moment as I read it. But it was also very difficult to read sort of the graphic breakdown, because you were very high level in the attack on the Montgomery kid, and that there was it was very vicious. It was the mom had declined to participate or to help the Death Eaters, and so they were attacked the son with a werewolf, and you know, they thought it was Fenrir because they thought he was trying to turn him into a werewolf, like that horrible rumor we read a few chapters ago was, but he got too vicious and then this poor 5-year-old boy died. And it's just, it's so hard to read about that and how terrible it is. And I think that alone, it being that the kid died instead of the parents, it's just such a story that Harry can relate to. I think it really cut him deep in that he realized he's got to do it. So when he gets to class, while Ron and Hermione take their apparitions test, there's only 3 kids in there. And we come to learn that Draco is also not 17 yet and also can't apparate. Mm-hmm. And we'll be in there with, is it Ernie who's also in there?
Yeah, Ernie McMillan.
It's a small little intimate class. And Slughorn does what the wizarding equivalent of putting a movie on is.
Yeah,
just make me an interesting potion.
And this is where Harry is actually doing his best, right? He's going to put to use everything that he's been doing right in this class, which is he's going to utilize the potions book that he's got from the Half-Blood Prince. He's going to find a very complicated potion. Not only did he find a complicated one, but he found one that had a ton of additives that the Half-Blood Prince had given in writing instructions on how to change this potion and make it even better. And so he actually does really win Slughorn's approval in this. Slughorn's very excited with his elixir to induce euphoria. Thinks he did a fantastic job, kind of even gives him a compliment about him adding like a whiff of peppermint to the potion, which is really cool. And as soon as Harry kind of like tries to expound on that, Slughorn's basically already disappeared. And so he doesn't even get a chance, unfortunately. So as he's in the common room waiting for, he realizes obviously it's going to be, you know, the Felix Felicis. And luckily, you know, Ron and Hermione return and we find out the results of their apparition test.
I love that Ron fails because he leaves behind half an eyebrow.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I love Hermione trying very hard to empathize with him when, in all honesty, she's probably thinking the same thing I was thinking. Like, yeah, it was just a half an eyebrow this time. But, you know, that could have been half a leg or an eye or an ear or your nose or who knows. But that's what I was thinking. But I love her trying so hard and be like, oh, yeah, Ron, that's a shame. So she was doing her best. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty great. But I do find that pretty funny that that's how he failed.
You know, it's funny, too, because, you know, Harry takes the potion. He doesn't take all of it because he doesn't need a whole 12 hours worth of luck, he doesn't feel like. So he still has some left. So he can still hopefully make that dream come true with Ginny, which, you know, I'm pulling for you, Harry. then he's got this great moment where he's like, he takes the potion and he's like, man, I feel great. I'm going to go down to Hagrid's. And they're like, are you crazy? No, that's not what he needs. No, I know exactly what I need to do. I need to go to Hagrid's, or at least Felix knows what he's doing. And it's just, it's very funny. And I love too, that she adds this little part where as he's slipping through the portrait hole, he accidentally bumps into Ginny, who's with Dean, and starts a fight between them because Ginny thinks Dean pushed him. And as Harry's leaving, he hears the beginning of a fight start to happen. So, hey, I don't know. Harry just might have inadvertently caused the fight that leads to their breakup.
Yeah, I love that. I also love that. I think so from here on out, what happens between in the movie and in the books is similar in terms of it furthers the plot in a very similar way, but it's different in terms of what actually happens. But the thing I do feel like was pretty spot on is the portrayal of Harry on this elixir in the movie. He has this like empty-headed confidence to him. It's not like he's dumb. It's just like he's just super positive. And knows exists about him in the book that also comes through super well in the movie. And I thought that really resonated with me, at least until the very end of this whole series of events that we're going to get into. At the very end, I think it turns a little darker than I remember. But I do think it's all funny, and I do think it's interesting. He doesn't really seem to notice that they got in a fight. He notices a little bit, but not to the extent of like, hey, that may just be the fight that it breaks them up, or they're on the cusp, or he still has a chance. So, but I do love that he's like, I'm going to go to Hagrid's. And he just like walks out, and they're like, what? But the part we kind of skimmed over a little bit is as Harry walks out and Hermione and Ron sort of follow him to the common room, Lavender catches them leaving the boys' dormitory.
Which she starts yelling at, Ron and Hermione, like, what are you doing
in
there?
That's
and
not going to work for Ron. No.
Does not go great for them. But luckily, Harry's not even paying attention to that because he could care less. Who knows where that's going to happen, what's going to happen there. I thought it was really interesting because one of the ways the movie changes the book is that when Harry makes his way out of the castle door has been left unlocked because apparently Filch forgot to lock it. That's really awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems pretty irresponsible. One might say, with all that's going on. So Harry's able to make his way out of the castle that way, and he decides that he wants to go take a walk by the gardens and by the greenhouses. And even though that's not really on the way, he's like, it seems like the best idea to me. So he's following Felix's proddings, and he runs into Slughorn and Professor Sprout. Now, he's wearing his invisibility cloak, so he can't be seen. And Sprout has been helping Slughorn procure some plants and some ingredients for his third year's class that he needs. So this is a very different place because he's not stealing anything like he is in the movie. Mm-hmm. He's actually working with Professor Sprout. So I actually kind of like that better because it does make Slughorn seem slightly less like swervy and swarmy, even though he has some swarminess later on in the chapter. But here it ameliorates some of the things they do to him in the movie, you know, where he just seems like he's always out for himself. Here it does seem like he's doing things that a teacher should be doing. So and once we have Professor Sprout leave, Harry gets the urge to reveal himself to Professor Slughorn. And it's just, I love reading the chapter and the way in which you see the luck play out. Like, it's just a lot of fun from here on out, the way that everything works according to Felix's plan to allow Harry to get what he so desperately needs. And I like the way that it kind of plays out here even better than it does in the movie. I think it's really well done, and I especially even like the part where he truly gets the memory finally, and the reason why he gets the memory finally. It's great.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. I think when you get to the end, so we go through a lot of things that are what we expect, right? They go meet Hagrid. Harry tells Hagrid that Slughorn is going to come down. Hagrid doesn't really question it, just asks if Harry's in trouble, and he kind of says no. And then you kind of have a standard funeral where Venom is stolen from the arachnid, and the arachnid's kicked into a giant hole in the ground, and then there's a that's just normal, right? That's normal. Then Slughorn gives a very moving sort of eulogy that is very beautiful. And then Hagrid and Slughorn proceed to get completely hammered. And Harry is smart enough to know that he needs to abstain so he can keep the lucky serum working. And it's just sort of what you expect from there. And when we get to the end, it kind of turns very dark. And Harry basically guilts Slughorn, a very drunken Slughorn, into revealing the memory. And I thought it was just, it would never have been something Harry would have done without the confidence that the serum gave him. I don't think he would have pushed as hard. I don't think he would have put the pressure on him the same way. It was very out of character for him because he knew he could get away with it.
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting thing here because there's so much that's happening. Like, Hagrid's lamenting the fact with Harry that there's a part of the forest that he can't go in anymore because Aragog's dead now. And apparently the only reason he just realizes this is that the only reason that Aragog's children weren't going to kill him is because of Aragog. The reason that Slughorn ends up coming down here, and we kind of mentioned that, you know, the beginning of this chapter, he's with Sprout, and so there isn't this kind of skeevy side to him. But that comes out when Harry mentions that he's going to the funeral for an acromantula, which apparently their venom is worth a lot of money. And so by Slughorn coming down there, he's able to procure that for himself, which he can make a lot of money at. And then, you know, like you said, he does eulogize Aragog very well and very nicely. And then, of course, he proceeds to get drunk with Hagrid. But I love this because even in the getting drunk part, like as Hagrid and Slughorn are talking and everything, they start talking, they start singing, and Hagrid's talking about these terrible things, and Harry knows what he's talking about. It's talking about the fact that Harry has lost his parents, and he's able to use that with Slughorn. But I really appreciated because Harry finally does the same thing here that Hermione's been doing to him this whole book, right? Which is the reality of the situation we're in. You know, and we either get this memory from you or we're probably all going to die, basically. Like, it all comes down to you. And I think, you know, like you were mentioning, it's very dark, but Harry also, I think, genuinely believes what he tells Slughorn, which is, if you give this memory to me, you are going to be helping basically erase the sins that you've committed. The thing that you're most worried about is the way that people will look at you. But if you help me with this, they're only going to look at you in a positive light because you helped rectify a mistake. And that's what people will remember. And knowing Harry, he will help people remember that part of the story about Slughorn rather than something else. And so I really appreciated the way that Harry just, maybe it's the elixir, but he legitimately starts to take this very seriously, and he handles this very seriously, and, you know, he tells him the truth about how, you know, he's the chosen one, and I need this information, Dumbledore needs this information, and, like, don't you want to be responsible for getting rid of the wizard who killed Lily Evans? And then I love what he says, be brave like my mother. And I think this is much more effective here, this whole conversation, than what they do in the movie, where they made something up when they didn't need to make anything up, because I think what she writes here is very effective. And it actually makes, I think, Harry Potter a stronger character for the things that he actually says here.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's much more powerful here than it is in the movie. In the movie, it makes it seem like in the movie it's not as hard. It's not as difficult. It's not as much of an accomplishment, mm-hmm. right? He kind of just ignores him throughout the movie. And then the first time he's able to really corner him, he gets it, right? That's kind of the feeling you get from the movie. Where this is really like he has to honestly be very persuasive. And he has to really influence him and use that to get this answer. It makes you really understand the gravity of what we're going to learn in the next chapter.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, the last thing that Slughorn says is, you know, please don't look at me too much differently after you see this, and don't think of me too badly. And, you know, of course, I think one of the most interesting things too is he says, you know, you have your mother's eyes, and he, that's a refrain that we hear repeated so much throughout the series, but it is something I think that is so fascinating because so many people are affected by Harry Potter as a character because through him, they see somebody else as well. And here, you know, Lily was one of Slughorn's favorite students and favorite people, really. And in some ways, the pain of him realizing the what he did to the person with those same eyes kind of staring back at him is difficult. And so I love that I love that Rowling kind of gives you an opportunity to understand the importance of her continually referencing the fact that Harry has his mother's eyes and the reason why this is important. And so it makes me wonder, you know, as we look through the rest of the book, hint, hint, why else that might be important.
It's really moving. And it honestly, it's one of those things we talk a lot about the Weasley family and how they kind of always do the right thing, right? It's also showing that the consequences to our choices and who we choose to be each and every day mean more than us showing up each and every day, right? The reason Harry was able to successfully glean this memory is because of the good person that his mother was. Beyond him, it had, you know, his luck in what he did, but honestly, like, she had a significant weight on his ability to convince Slughorn to share. And she could have never known that that was going to be the case, right? Who would think that would be the situation that her son would find himself in? No one goes, you know what? I'm going to be a good person to that person at the grocery store today because maybe someday my son needs to steal their memory in order to save the world from a dark wizard. All right. You know, it's amazing the consequences and the long lasting impact that we have on the world. And this is just like a reminder of that as he looks into Harry's eyes. And it's part of why Slughorn never wanted to look into Harry too deeply, right? He likes to keep it superficial because it hurts and it hurts him a lot. And he doesn't like to share that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be something that's going to be fascinating is we go into the next chapter, like you said, and we are going to learn some pivotal things here. And this is the complete turning point for the book where everything that we've been building towards now is about to unravel. Like that, this is the moment where everything, we're downhill now. And I'm so excited because I love getting to the points of these books of hers because everything we've been building towards is about to pay off, and it's just so exciting. So we'll be in chapter 23 next week. But Drea, if anybody who does want to catch up with you, where, you know, this is the perfect time to put social media to its best use, to talk to each other about fun things like Harry Potter. So if people want to do that with you, where can they find you?
Sure, you can find me and all of my self-isolation quips and random things that come to mind and see how fun it's going to be to live with a two-year-old for weeks on end on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman and at COFFMAN.
Well, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, Vero under the name MattRushing02. I am here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills as we are talking about Star Wars each and every week. You can also find me over on the Trek FM network doing a couple of shows. One is called The Orb with Chris Jones, where we are talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. You can also find me doing The 602 Club, our general geek show, as we talk about all of the fandoms that we love, not just one. And then last but not least, doing Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney as we talk about films through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for joining us.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.